Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there and welcome to another Arsblog Arscast right here on arsblog.olayolay.com. We were going to do something very special this weekend and do the Arscast directly from the Arsenal Treatment Room, an area that many of us have a great interest in at the moment, given that's where most of our players are. Sadly, despite having permission from the club, it was just a little bit noisy, as this short clip will demonstrate. So as you can see, it was pretty much unworkable. So we're back to normal in the studio. Wherever you are, I hope you're well. You've had a good week. You're uninjured. That's the most important thing. No strains and aches, I hope. No pulled muscles. No little groins. Well, I know that's a stretch too far for many of you who do indeed have little groins, but I'm talking from the injury point of view. Of course, injuries are something we'll be touching on a little bit, I suppose, in this show. In a while, we'll be talking to Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com about injuries, about all the football that's gone on this week, and the potential, perhaps, of a new signing arriving before the end of the transfer window. As well as that, we have an in-depth study, and I think we've discovered why it is Arsenal are picking up all these injuries. That's a little bit to come as well. Andre Arshavin will be here to tell you about his week, and as usual, bits and pieces of waffle between now and the end of the programme. And looking ahead, of course, to the weekend's game against, Manchester United, no less. So we'll be discussing all that before the end of the show. between the last Arscast and this Arscast, well, football-wise, it's been kind of a mixed bag. It hasn't been brilliant. It hasn't been particularly good, not particularly bad, really. Depending on your point of view of the FA Cup, there was the Villa game and the Stoke game. The FA Cup, well, I mean, we could have won that. We could have won that, but I mean, we gave away three goals, essentially. We've been over this on the blog. Defend like that against any team, and chances are they're going to score. Stoke did exactly that, and we're out of the FA Cup, which is a little bit of a disappointment because I do like the FA Cup. I don't have any real problem, though, with the team that the manager played on Sunday. He had to rest players. Had we played worse against Villa, had we not even picked up a draw against Villa, and if he'd played guys from the start, then he would have been crucified, I think, for going, well, why did you, it's only the FA Cup. We've got a chance of the league. You should be prioritising that. And of course, when we go out of the FA Cup, it's like, oh, the FA Cup is our best chance of a trophy. What are you doing? So he's damned if he did and damned if he didn't, kind of. And I understand both points of view, but were I in his shoes, I probably would have picked a fairly similar team. I don't think I would have risked Cesc Fabregas, I have to say. There was one moment, I think it was probably about 10 minutes ago, and I think they just scored the second goal. And the ball was up around the edge of their area, and their player ran away from their player, and Cesc went sliding in. And it was one of those where you're going, oh, shit, please get up. Because it's, you know, you could see where the injury was going to come from. Thankfully it didn't, but unfortunately Stoke went up and scored the third goal and went away with the match. Aston Villa then on Wednesday night, 0-0. They had chances, we had chances. Stuart Downing had an absolutely glorious chance in the second half from a cross which was deflected, which was quite ironic, really, because Villa's crossing was very good all night, and we dealt with it superbly, I thought. Gallas, Sanya, even Clichy from time to time, and Sol Campbell all made fantastic headed clearances, and we defended quite deep. And defended across our six-yard box on a number of occasions, and that was down to the quality of Villa's crossing. But the one cross that got deflected, looped up and over everybody, and Downing just had to be brave. That's all he had to do. Be brave. Put your head on that, and it's a goal. Instead, he kind of chickened out of it. He was afraid. He was a little baby. And the chance went begging. From our point of view then, there was the Cesc shot which hit the post, and the follow-up which was all messy, and then Rosicki hitting the bar. So I suppose a draw in the end was a fair result, but it would have been nice to come away from Villa Park with 3 points. One will do, given the other results that Villa have picked up this season. The other main talking point, of course, was that the fear that we had was that Thomas Vermaelen had broken his leg or fractured his fibula. It turns out that's not the case. They're still assessing the injury, but it's good news to know that he hasn't broken his leg, obviously, which is fantastic. Saul Campbell came on, did very well, blah, blah, blah. But had we lost Vermaelen for an extended period of time, I think that would have been very bad indeed. Very, very bad. Because despite the fact Campbell is back and playing well, you know, he's been out for a long time and he's 34 years of age and he can't do 3 games a week. And yeah, it would have been bad. So fingers crossed it's not too bad for Thomas. But you've got to wonder about the injuries that Arsenal are picking up all the time. It's just, you know, why do we have so many injuries? How are our players getting injured so frequently when they're super athletes? I'm 38 years of age and I play football 3 times a week. Now, I'm not putting myself on the same level as the Arsenal players or suggesting that I exert myself physically in the same way. I don't sprint as fast as they do. I tend to leave sprinting out of things as much as I possibly can. Use my experience, you might say. Now, particularly when you're playing against a team of young lads on a Tuesday night and they all run around the place going... So you just got to stand in their way and make life difficult for them and try and get them sent off and things. But my point is that, you know, I play 1 game of 11-a-side and 2 games of 5-a-side and they're not sedate. There's physicality in all these games. And I play every week, 3 times a week, every week. I can't remember the last time I missed a game because of injury. It must be a year ago or 18 months ago. I know I probably really jinxed myself, so I'm touching wood here, he said, tapping his head very, very quickly and hopefully that I haven't just banjaxed myself here. But you get my point, that I, at 38 years of age, not being a supreme athlete, being a man who is fond of his drink, who doesn't necessarily like running in general. I wouldn't go jogging, for example, to build up fitness or anything like that, because what's the point? I don't see the point in jogging. There is no football to run after, or there is nobody with a football to run after and kick. So for me, running without either of those things is a completely pointless endeavor. So I don't engage in any of that sort of stuff. But rarely get injured. Perhaps the Arsenal players need more Guinness. I mean, I'm sure they've tried everything else. Maybe it's a lubricant for the joints and for the muscles and everything else. Guinness and Jameson. It's the anti-injury elixir that Arsenal have been looking for. But of course it is a worry, you know, that we have players that are affected by injury. Eduardo obviously had that terrible injury and it seems to have badly affected him subsequently. Not just the recovery from his injury, but the constant strains and muscle problems that he picks up. Abu Diaby, who was playing fantastically well and beginning to really show some of the potential that Arsene Wenger obviously sees in him and the flashes of brilliance that we've seen from him, he was beginning to play consistently well. And again, it's a fallout of that, probably that bad injury he had against Sunderland. It's a calf strain. And he picks up that kind of injury quite regularly. So he's unable to build momentum. He's unable to play 10, 15, 20, 25 games in a row, which is really when a footballer gets into his stride. Confident, he's fit, he's match fit all the time, he's sharp, his touch is good, you know. And when you're only playing 5 or 6 games and then you start to play well, then you're out for 3 weeks. It is a worry. It is a worry. And maybe we just do have a few too many injury-prone players. But as I said, I think we found the main reason, aside from the Guinness and Jameson elixir, which I may pitch to the club. Because, I mean, it can't hurt, can it? Probably could hurt. But at least the players would have a good time. So it's team building. It's all good for morale. I don't think they'll go for it. Anyway, we'll look more at injuries a little bit later on. With me now, though, to discuss everything else that's been going on is Gilberto Silva from Gunnerblog. Hello there.
Hey there.
How are you? Are you injured in any way?
I can report that I am, actually.
You
I've
are?
I've got a sort of indigestion.
That's not an injury.
Well, it would keep any of our players out. It was like a scene from Alien where there's something sort of inside me trying to get out.
Are you pregnant?
Possibly.
Right. That would certainly put a dampener on any football career.
You know. It would be difficult. There haven't been many.
Don't tackle him. He's pregnant. It might come out.
Yeah, no, there aren't many precedents for that.
No, I don't think so. We have to start with injuries because there are so many of them surrounding Arsenal at the moment. Have you any theories? Somebody said on Twitter that they thought maybe our players, they don't like to be lonely, which is why they get injured together in groups so they can sit around and talk to each other in the treatment room.
For the treatment room banter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, you can go and sit in there with Theo Walcott, mm-hmm. have a nice time. But he doesn't seem like great conversation.
No, I wouldn't have said Theo is the sparkling wit that maybe some of the other players are. Like Eboué, for example.
Oh, the razor-sharp wit of Emmanuel Eboué. But he's not injured all that much. It's sort of Diaby and Walcott. And I don't imagine they've got great chat. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. Maybe they've got Munchausen syndrome by proxy. They're all injuring each other.
I think that's almost certainly it.
Hmm. The injuries, it's circular because we got Nasri and Ramsey back and Bentner back, but we've lost Vermaelen and we've lost Eduardo with a small hamstring, which could be the problem indeed. Yeah. But Thomas Vermaelen, obviously after the game against Aston Villa, there was a fear that his leg was broken or he'd fractured his fibula. That's turned out not to be the case, and that's good news.
It is good news. I sort of wonder if they're trying to play mind tricks on us now. Like, we're so paranoid. They told us Ramsey was out for 3 weeks. They told us Nasri was out for 3 weeks. They were back, pretty sharpish. Mm-hmm. Then we've got the official site telling us that Vermaelen might have broken his leg. You know, that's something we don't need to know. Why tell us that? Just say he's got a knock. We don't know. We've had scans. They're just worrying us. But turns out it's not too bad. And, in contention, he might even play Sunday now.
Yeah, I'd be surprised. They said they've got to look at the injury, but you can't imagine that if it's not a broken leg or a little fracture, then he just got a really hard kick and it's probably quite sore.
Yeah, I think they'll do everything they can to get him playing Sunday. It seems unlikely. It seemed very unlikely 24 hours ago, but I think there's a good chance he'll be on that pitch.
In his absence, Sol Campbell came into the side against Aston Villa and did very, very well. And he also played well against Stoke. The team didn't necessarily play too well against Stoke, but Sol played well. And yeah. I suppose if you're going to have an injury to one of your first-choice centre-halves, having someone like him in there, who's been there and done that and has all that experience, doesn't necessarily have the pace anymore, which, you know, you can't really expect. But there are a number of occasions in the last two games where their forwards have gotten in behind ours and they put a little cross in and he's just there in the right position to just get the ball away. And I think maybe the performances in the last two games will have encouraged people that even though he has been not playing for quite a while and not playing at the top level for quite a while, that he's still got something about him as a player and he does look like he really wants to be part of things.
Yeah, I think people have been relieved as much as anything because there was such a potential for disaster when Campbell went out there. I mean, even in his latter days at Pompey, he wasn't picking up rave reviews. Then he's been out of the game for 6 months. But he's done really well. I've been sort of, you know, really impressed with him. And I'm not sure. On Wednesday, he came on for Vermaelen and Sylvester wasn't on the bench. Sylvester, I assume, was still recovering from that knock that nearly took him off the pitch against Stoke. Mm. And I sort of wonder, has Campbell now superseded Sylvester in the pecking order? It seems so, and his performances probably justify that. That said, I wouldn't have fancied three games in a row against United, Chelsea and then Liverpool with a player who really is only just coming back to anything like full fitness.
Hmm. There was an interesting part in the Villa game. I think he'd just come on, and I think one of his first touches, the Villa fans were giving him a bit of stick as if he was this young guy or he had something to prove. It didn't last very long, I have to say, because he was winning headers and he wrecked Heskey all night long.
Now, people are looking to sort of, knock Campbell. I remember when we played Stoke, the BBC live text was really negative about Campbell's performance and saying, oh, he hasn't looked himself. He should have got to the cross for Fuller's goal. And I even had a Spurs fan saying to me, oh, I think one of your other centre-backs would have headed that cross away. I was like, I don't think so. They're about 5 inches shorter, both of them. And I think people sort of want Campbell to fail because it's, you know, it's a good story. But he seems to be, you know, not too bad shape.
Which is good news for us, you know, because Sylvester obviously is not somebody you'd have a great deal of faith in. And the news about Vermaelen obviously is good. If he does have to play on Sunday, he's going to be up against a player who is in probably the best form of his career in Wayne Rooney. Mm. There's a bit of previous there, obviously, because that dive Rooney took in the game, which cost us the unbeaten run. Maybe Saul will feel he's got a little bit of a score to settle there, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Saul up against a pair of athletic Stoke forwards and then up against someone like Heskey. We haven't seen him against someone with, you know, quick feet, you know, darting shoulders, good movement, really, I wouldn't say. So Rooney's going to be a real test for whoever plays, even for Vermaelen. He gave Vermaelen and Gallus a really tricky game at Old Trafford. But I think Rooney's in form. He looks like, with the voting happening now, it'll be one of him or Cesc for Player of the Year. Mm. I think because of English bias, it'll probably be Rooney. And it's, you know, it's difficult to argue that. He's playing really well, but Sol owes Rooney one. And I would love to sort of see him get payback for that penalty incident on Sunday.
Let's look back very quickly. The Stoke game, the FA Cup, any issues with the team that the manager picked? Did he have any choice?
I don't think so. And if you imagine, if you'd watched that Villa game Wednesday night, and you look at the players that we had out, and if you imagine if they played just 3 days before, how they might have struggled. They struggled, you know, at times as it was. Mm. And I think the excuse of tiredness would not have helped that 11. And I think Villa was a good point, and that, in my opinion anyway, and I think that sort of justifies, the ends justifies the means. The FA Cup, Liverpool are out, United are out, Chelsea have sort of got the freedom of, you know, England to go and win it again. I think that shows that Liverpool are having a terrible season, but it's not a huge priority anymore for us. You know, if we've got a chance in the league, if we've got a chance in the Champions League, we can't afford to put all our resources into the FA Cup. And the same people who say this Arsenal side have never, you know, they should win a trophy. If we won the FA Cup, I'm sure they'd be the same people who'd then say it's only the FA Cup.
You've got to go and prove it in the league.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't necessarily believe that winning the Cup makes us more likely to win the league the following season. I think it'd be good for the club and great for the fans. The fans love a trophy. The fans would love to win the FA Cup. I'm not sure that I necessarily concur with the consensus that winning that trophy somehow helps you in a completely different style of competition. And I think that we do have a genuine chance of the league this year, and we have to make the most of it.
Okay, I'd agree with that, but the one thing I'd say about that is that, you know, winning something once, not many of these players have won anything, so, yeah, you know, to get that first trophy under their belt would probably go a long way, just to instilling the kind of belief as young players that they can go and do it and do it in the future. And of course the competitions are different, but we'll see. Villa, as you said, not a bad point on the face of it. Disappointing considering, I suppose, people will have looked at the four games that we've got and said, right, the best chance of 3 points really is Aston Villa. But Villa have beaten Chelsea, they've beaten United, they've beaten Liverpool this season. They're no mugs. They had something to prove after the 3-0 game a couple of weeks ago at the Emirates. And despite how poorly we played, and we did play quite poorly, and half of that is down to Villa, I suppose, not letting us, they played very well, we did have good chances, particularly Rosicki's, which would have won the game. You did feel that one goal was gonna do the trick.
Yeah, we came close. We hit the woodwork twice. Arguably, our best chance, we never really even sort of sorted it out. That rebound from that Cesc shot, yeah, that hit the post. If Ramsey had left it, I think Rosicki had an even easier chance than he later hit the bar with. That said, you know, I appreciate what you say. The easiest game of the four, though, I think Liverpool at home is probably an easier fixture, looking at the Liverpool side this season. But the most important game.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Games to win are the games against United and Chelsea on our immediate rivals. Those are essentially six-pointers. And I think if you ask me, if you would say, well, you draw against Villa and Liverpool, but beat your two title rivals, people might not consider it realistic, but that would be a great, great outcome. And those are the two that we really, really must not lose in.
Mm. I suppose as well, going into this game on Sunday, the last time we played United at home was the Champions League semi-final, and there was such an expectation, such an atmosphere, which was dead and buried after 7 or 8 minutes when United scored. Having beaten them in the league last season, that particular result, and knowing what's at stake, we really do have to go for it this Sunday. And despite the fact that Eduardo said, you're looking to somebody like Arshavin and looking to Cesc Fabregas to do the business, because United have a match winner in Rooney. We maybe have two with Arshavin when he feels like it, because he is capable of that, and Fabregas on his current form.
Yeah, I agree. And I saw a quote from Arshavin today on his official site. The question was something like, oh, you and Fabregas seem to be the only players capable of scoring. And Arshavin dismissed that. He said, that's not true. But the responsibility does lie with the likes of me and Cesc. And, you know, those are our key players in big games. It was an Arshavin goal that won the match at Anfield that started us on this good run in the league. And Fabregas has been absolutely critical to continuing that. If we are going to beat Man United on Sunday, it's hard, you know, Eduardo's out, but I wouldn't necessarily back him to score in that game anyway. Bent is just coming back to fitness. Nasri's sort of drifting in and out of games at the moment. I think if we're going to win, if we're going to score goals, it's going to come from those two, especially in the absence of Diaby, which I think is a real blow, actually, on his current form.
Finally, there's a few days left till the transfer window closes. The United game, what day does the United game on? Well, look, is it the 31st?
31st, so Monday is the final day.
And Monday is the final day.
Yeah, 5 p.m, I think.
Right, so he really has to decide, obviously, beforehand, if he's going to do any business in the transfer market. Apart from Sol Campbell, we were all expecting, I mean, he spoke about bringing in a striker, he spoke about, you know, maybe bringing in a midfielder, depending on injuries, etc., etc. Do you think that the forward situation will have worried him? Because Theo Walcott, I know he said wait 5 or 6 weeks and you'll see a different Walcott. Can he wait 5 or 6 weeks? Carlos Vela didn't make the bench against Aston Villa. Eduardo is struggling, looks the shadow of his former self, is out injured. Bentner's just coming back from injury. So is he waiting, do you think, for all these little pieces to come together and knit together and bring us through to the end of the season? Or have you any expectation that he might actually go out and buy somebody?
If you look at the quotes from Wenger before the transfer window, he was talking about bringing in a player who could have an immediate impact in the team. And he meant in January. I think, you know, there was no Van Persie, no Bentner. I don't think he expected us necessarily to pick up the results that we did with the players we had available. I don't see him moving for anybody between now and the end of the window. I think there was obviously an interest in Smalling, an interest that was, you know, hurried along by United coming in, and they got their man in the end. But Wenger, he's not the kind of manager who, when he doesn't get target A, just switches to target B. He's talked about having transfer lists with target 1, 2, 3 before, but it often seems that there are very specific individuals that he sees fitting into his setup. When he doesn't get them, he would rather not spend his money. And much like last year in January, everyone was expecting a defender. Everyone was expecting a defensive midfielder. We bought a creative attacker, Andreas Schärvin. Now, this year, everyone was looking at a striker, maybe a defensive midfielder, and we've brought in a 35-year-old centre-back. I think that if he moves for anybody, it will be in the defensive area. But I don't expect that to happen, to be honest.
All right. Okay, well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. And keep our fingers crossed for United on Sunday. Gilberto Silva from Gunner Blog, thank you very much.
Cheers, man.
And as you all know, I'm sure you can check out Gunner Blog at gunnerblog.com. Still to come, Andre Arshavin. We'll be looking ahead to the Manchester United game. We've got some team news, who's in and out of the squad for Sunday. But now, as I mentioned, we decided we'd try and find the root cause of Arsenal's injury problems. And who better to do that than our resident expert on everything? It's Professor Godfrey Twatchwalk. Professor, welcome to the Arsecast.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure to be back.
Now, as an expert in everything, you seem the very best person I could find to ask to investigate Arsenal's injury problems. Why do we get so many players injured? Why, when they're injured, do they come back, get injured again? Why do we have more injuries than any other club? What have you found?
I have to say that when you asked me to look into this, I thought to myself, this is going to be an uphill struggle. Now, we have people on our team that are experienced in doing their gardening uphill, but not struggling uphill. Nevertheless, I think we have discovered the solution. The first thing we had to look at, of course, was the number of injuries that Arsenal have experienced this season. They have had 712. That is more than all the other teams in the Premier League put together. Now, when you look at that, you have to think there's something a little bit iffy. It's got to go beyond Arsenal having players, for example, that have osteoporosis, muscular dystrophy, or low-level spina bifida. Of course, in the case of Robin Van Persie, all three things apply, and a couple more, actually, but that doesn't explain why the rest of the squad have got all these injuries. So we took all the information that we had, fed it into our supercomputer, did all the data crunching, and nothing. Could not find one bit of an answer. That was until we discovered the most amazing resource. Nobody's using it. They're all too busy online with their FaceTwit and e-bookers and all that. It's called a library, and it contains objects known as books. Now, I know these things are probably beyond the comprehension of most of your listeners, but these books contain information. Now, we looked at the information and discovered that in ancient times, the Mayan civilization believed that illness was not a degradation of the body. It was a curse put on you by somebody who didn't like you. Bearing that in mind, we used a probability-generating program to find out where the curse could be. Arsenal's training ground. That's the answer. Using highly sensitive equipment, we scanned all the training pitches until we found it. In the center circle of one of the pitches used by the first team, a little box containing the left wing of a fruit bat, fused with the femur of a rare albino gibbon, wrapped in the plasticized abortion of a snow leopard, the traditional Mayan curse. And with that evidence in front of us, it was very clear what had happened. There's only one person with the deviousness and the resources available to do something like that. Alex Ferguson. He put a curse on all of Arsenal's players, causing them to become injured all the time.
That is extensive research, Dr. Twatchloch. Thank you very much. But I mean, the question I would have, of course, is why now? Because Arsenal have had teams which are much more threatening to Manchester United in the past, with Henry, Vieira, Bergkamp, Pires, those teams that were experienced and much more capable of winning trophies. Why has he chosen to pick on this Arsenal team?
Well, clearly it's because he's a cunt.
Thank you very much indeed, Professor Gottfried Treitschloch. And next time we have a question that really needs to be answered, I'm pretty sure he's the guy we're going to go to. Now, Nicholas Bendtner is back. He came back against Aston Villa after 3 months out, more or less. His last appearance was in the North London Derby against Tottenham at home there at the end of October. And he's back, and time away has not diminished the man's confidence. He is a confident man, you have to say. One thing you could never accuse him of is lacking self-belief. He says, "Is this a chance to become the number one striker? That's my plan. Is it achievable? Of course. Why am I so confident? It's simple. I'm a good player. I've always had that belief. People ask me every time we speak, 'Why are you like that?' And that's just the way it is. It reminds me of a song almost." He said, "If I didn't think I could do it, I wouldn't be standing here telling you I could." You can't fault the guy for his self-belief. You really can't. If he could back that up now with, I don't know, 20 goals between now and the end of the season, that would be just marvellous as well. Obviously his return gives us that physical presence that we've been looking for up front. Provided, of course, that Arsene Wenger plays him as the central striker. He can't not do it, can he? He can't play him out in the right and continue to play Arshavin and for whatever. No, he's not. He wouldn't. He wouldn't dare, would he? No. Because Bender's going to become the number one striker. Why? Because it's like that. And that's the way it is. Listen to Nicholas Bendtner. But maybe his arrival or his return to the team will allow Arshavin to play in that position that he's a little bit better in. And I think he plays better off a bigger man, Arshavin. Eduardo too, but obviously he's not going to be playing. So it'll be interesting to see how he copes fitness-wise against Manchester United on Sunday. He gives us a bit of an aerial threat, someone who can hold the ball up, someone who can bring others into play. And, come on, Nicholas, do it. You've talked the talky stuff, now do the walking walky stuff, which is more the scorey-score stuff. That's what we want, Nicholas, goals. I know that's what he wants too. We all want the same thing. So what's the problem? There is none. Not yet, anyway. Now, this guy.
Hello, Andrea Shevin here, and talk about my week. We play against Aston Villa and make draw. Maybe a win. Of course, he's better, but it's a difficult game. And in cup, we play Stoke and lose. And I am on bench, but later come on field. And I want to wear my hat, but the manager, he see and he is smiling and take hat off my head, and I am smiling too, but inside I am not smiling. It is another problem for me here in England, another thing I cannot do. In Russia I can, for example, I am parking where I like, and I can drink the vodka while I am driving, but here, no. Here I have to pay for things when I go to shop, and if somebody is make me angry, I cannot say to my friend Yuri, go to this person's house and in middle of night take wife and children and kill them and then bring heads back to house and then tell man don't make Andre angry again. And I cannot import lion and tiger and grizzly bear and build a Colosseum like in Rome at bottom of garden and make homeless people fight and get eat by lion and tiger and bear. For me is a big problem. I like in Russia to do these things, and in England I cannot. I blame Maggie Thatcher. The bloody woman.
And hopefully Andre can take out the frustrations of not being able to park wherever he likes and have people killed and eaten by bears. And he'll take those frustrations out on Manchester United on Sunday. It's a big game. He generally scores impressive goals in big games. He's already scored against Manchester United this season. Nevertheless, that game finished quite badly for us. Quite badly indeed. We gifted them two goals, a penalty, and Abu Diaby's own goal. And as I said to Gilberto Silva in the little chat earlier on, I feel like we owe them one. And I feel that generally when it comes to Manchester United, because the battles down the years have been so intense and the rivalry has been fierce, etc., etc. So I always feel like we owe them one. Even after we've beaten them, I still feel like we owe them another one. And if we beat them 50 times in a row, I'd still feel like we owe them another one. And not a gentle one either. No. A good hard rooting. And I feel that's what we owe Manchester United after the game at Old Trafford and after the Champions League semi-final. There's got to be a measure of revenge on the minds of the players and the manager. That occasion fell so flat last year, the Champions League semi-final having been such a great atmosphere, and it was just sickening, really. So carry that into the game. Players and fans, and the manager, I'm sure. It will keep us right in this title race. It wouldn't mean the end of things if we didn't win. Wouldn't mean the end of things if we lost. But it would be a tremendous boost to the squad if we did go ahead and smash them and root them. And while they were lying there crying, begging for us to stop, we gave them another one. But that could be just me hoping for all that. The team news, I suppose, is that Alex Song is back and Emmanuel Abue is back. Both of them back from Africa, from the African Cup of Nations. They go back into the squad. You would have to imagine Song will go straight back into the team, despite the fact the manager was saying he did look a bit tired playing for Cameroon. He can't afford to be tired. We need him in there. I wonder who he'll play in midfield alongside Cesc. Diaby is not going to be fit, so will it be Danielson or will it be Rosicki? I hope it's Rosicki. I like to see Rosicki in there, but you just feel he might keep him on the bench and go for the solidity or whatever it is that Danielson does. But I would play Rosicki, personally speaking. Up front, I reckon Arshavin Bentner and Nasri, probably. And then with a little bit on the bench, maybe there's Walcott on the bench, there's Vela on the bench. What am I talking about? Yeah. We have to hope that the players that are out there are going to score. See, this is me just reverse jinxing them, kind of. Because, I mean, in fairness, Theo is never going to score between now and the end of the season, and Vela too. If Vela ever scores another goal in his career, I'll be surprised. I would pay £5 to a charity, and I don't believe in charity, generally speaking. But I would pay five whole pounds, which is probably about €6.10, if he scored. So, yes, let's get up for this, and let's make sure we keep ourselves right in the title race, and let's beat Manchester United at home. We owe them one. We owe them one, so let's give them one. They asked for it. It's not our fault. They asked for it. Turning us over in the Champions League semi-finals. Cheeky cunts. All right, then. We better leave it there, then, for this Irishcast. Have yourselves a very good weekend. Talk to you all next week on the blog and, of course, on the very next Irishcast. Until then, cheerio. Bye-bye.
Hello there, and welcome to the Arsenal Medical Room. I'm the Arsenal Doctor, and I'm here today to show you that the Arsenal players receive the best possible medical treatment whenever they get an injury. There are those out there who say because our players pick up injuries very frequently and often spend prolonged periods out of the game, that we don't know what we're doing, Well, that's absolute nonsense, let me tell you. I've got a first-class degree in medicine from the University of... Now, if you look over there on your right-hand side, you can see Abu the Abbey, who's out for a little while with a calf injury. Now, we've got top-of-the-range, state-of-the-art treatment going on there with him. That's right, it's a poultice made from flour and goat's urine. Over there on your left-hand side, Robin Van Persie, ankle ligament damage. Could have kept the player out for 2 years in the past. Not so. He'll be back in 7 months. How are the leeches there, Robin? Good. And our post-injury care is second to none. If you look over there, you can see Johan Juru. There he is with an opium pipe, relaxing to help him get over his knee injury. So if somebody tells you that Arsenal players don't get the best possible medical treatment, just tell them to shut up. Or I'll come round and help their wife give birth. Bye!
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.